Hi guys, and welcome to today's podcast, where I'm joined by Leo Soulis. I didn't even see that.
I think it was right, yeah.
Great name, but it's good for a Scottish guy. So welcome, Leo, to the podcast. It's always a pleasure to have smart guys like you on the show, sharing their skills and techniques. And when I say clever guys like you, you know, a lot of SEOs out there are good at what they do, but really guys like you who build tools and technology and automation really are the smart guys.
Oh my God.
We're way above a lot of people's skill levels, and that is the best thing I can say about anyone like yourself who does this stuff. You just make our jobs so much easier.
Dude, this is hard shoes to fill now, but thank you so much for your kindness. I just have a different skill set, and I admire always people like you, like marketeers, because I'm not inherently good in this. I'm trying to pick it up as we go, like how do you speak, how do you communicate. But I love the industry and I love the people inside it, like passionate, driven people like you and others that I have met. So I think my goal was always to use some of my skill set, some of my more programming and technical skill set to attempt to bring some value in the field in any way that I can.
Yeah, and I think you've already done that in the past with other projects you've worked on. But just before we go into what we want to talk about today, which is going to be keyword Cupid, how long have you been doing programming for? Like, what's the history behind you? Like, how did you get into this, and why the hell does a programmer, or how does a programmer end up in the space? Like, you could have surely programmed like other things, not SEO things. So, what's the story there?
Very, very good question. So, yeah, like I don't know how many people can relate with my story, but. So I did everything right. Like I didn't come from a point of struggle. I had like two amazing parents that they struggled and they gave me everything that, you know, every head start in life. I went to great schools. I finished an electrical and computer engineering degree. And then I came to the US. I started a master's in data science from NYU. I joined Goldman Sachs. I did all the things that were prescribed as you know, what you should do in order to have a good life, you know, like get a degree, get a graduate degree, get in a good company, good field. And in 2014, 2015, my father got suddenly sick with brain cancer. So he was a surgeon, and it was like, it was very weird, like how it happened, like, cause he was performing like 15 operations a day. And at some point he just hit his hand on the wall and he just did a test with his fingers. He couldn't see. So immediately, I started like researching things, and long story short, I brought him here to Memorial Sloan Kettering, and I had to drop out of everything. I had to drop out of my job. I had to drop out of the PhD that I started at Yale. I had to focus solely on this. And not only I didn't have time for anything else, I also didn't have money, because as an employee, you're working, you might get a good paycheck, but it doesn't really attribute to any freedom. So for me, it was that sort of realization that when life throws you curveballs, unless you can manage your time and your freedom, then you will not be able to just, you know, sort of solve the riddles in the greatest way. So for me, like, I had to start from scratch when he eventually passed away. And that's why I started researching other ways where I can be self-employed. I can, you know, create a life on my own. Rather than following someone else's dream. And that's how I saw a lot of Lamborghinis. I love ads about, you know, how to get your Lamborghini in a week. I researched everything. Like, I have like a document with like 2,500 pages on SEO, because I was trying to prove my hypothesis that this works. And I didn't know anything. I didn't even know how to build a website like 3-4 years ago, because I came from like a strongly programming and math background. So I had no idea about the field. And then I went to Thailand, met a bunch of people, met you, and I realized that this is a community where if you add value and if you work hard, and the work hard is imperative, but then you can start rising. You can meet the right people. You can understand where you fit in the market. And I started from affiliate because that's what I like, and I'm more of an introvert. So I like this sort of format of work. But then my actual skill set is, and the things that I was building, because I have like a lot of toys and automation that I have built, I thought that it could actually benefit the market, or at least attempt to start a conversation, because somebody else can, you know, pick up my work and just continue and make it even more, even better. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. So that's how I started like developing tools as well.
That's great, great story. And I think the great thing there is you've obviously been able to take something like your previous skill set in programming, and in quite a short space of time, twist that and make, you know, a great opportunity for yourself. And I'm going to assume that things are going well for you now. You're making money, you've got the freedom that you want, and things are going relatively well. Would that be right? I know there's always room for improvement.
Yeah, but, there is.
But we're going to jump on to your keyword Cupids and talk a bit about that. So what I'm going to do is share my screen first, just so that people can see what the hell keyword Cupid is, and then I'll let you come in and give us more unique selling points, because it's obviously keyword Cupid, unbiased keyword research. Find keywords that, you know, that are going to benefit you, whether it be on Google or whatever. So you've got your tool there, 7-day free trial, your blog, your success stories, your pricing, your knowledge base, the same tool that, you know, there's a number of different keyword tools out there. You've got your packages and everything else where we can see you've got your credits, your, you know, all of that kind of stuff, and Facebook group access. But what is the unique selling points of this tool? What, you know, why should people be looking at this?
Yeah.
I'm dying to know the ins and outs of this, because I love new tools. I know a lot of people do. We always get the shiny object syndrome. We're just like, man, I don't know. Like, even shit tools, like, and I'm not saying use a shit.
No, it's up.
I see something in AppSumo and I'm just like, man, that sounds so cool. And I get like really excited about it, and I can't wait to get it and play with it. And yeah, so it's the same with all tools. I'm obsessed with them. But keywords important, keyword research is important. And obviously this is what the main crux of what this tool does. So yeah. So you want to give us a run through of the unique selling points and why this is the go-to tool.
Yeah, and 100%. And that's what you described is pretty much where I'm coming from. Like that, you know, there's a lot of tools out there. There's so many tools. Like every day you are just seeing one more jump out. And I didn't want to be that kind of tool, like that, you know, something that just rehashes things that has been done before. And obviously, like, there is room for improvement, as you said. So, like, I'm always trying to improve and just make it better if there is something that goes to that direction of, like, the mundane. But so the reason that this tool is different is because it tries to interject what I had a problem with the beginning when I started learning SEO is like that. Nowadays, it's very easy to collect a massive keyword list. Either you can use free tools or your knowledge or Google Keyword Planner, Ahrefs, SEMrush, whatever you want to use. You can easily get, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 keywords right off the bat. That's not the difficult part. You can get the impressions. You can understand how it is, how it goes. And then there is writing the content or structuring your strategy. You have 20,000 rows and then strategy, and then there is nothing in the middle to tell you how are you going to structure them. Like, I had a problem in the beginning. I will say this example is like that. I had an accountant that was one dimension, and then the next one was stuff like brochures, business cards, and everything. And I was wondering, should I create like a silo about accountants and then put business cards, brochures, and everything, or do you put business cards and then accountants, lawyers, you know, construction workers, whatever you want? So there's not a good necessarily way of framing and just seeing what page are you prioritizing, where do you interlink them, what keywords are you putting with together. And the way that I understand it is that we are humans, we are highly intelligent sort of beings that understand a lot of, you know, nuances about the language and about our civilization. And then there's something else, which is like a baby. It's like a technical baby, very wealthy baby, which goes by the name Google, and we're trying to satisfy both our intent and what it understands, because it's an algorithm.
Yeah.
So that's what Keyword Cupid is trying to solve. Like, in a sense, it tries to bridge the gap between our human language and what Google understands and what Google interprets.
Yeah.
So what you're doing, in a sense, and I can show you an example. Let me share my screen. And I have made it because that was the it's kind of trippy. Can you see my screen? Oh yeah, because
yeah, you can see it now.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the main dashboard, but so what I had like a first version which was mostly like doing the keyword research for you, like you were submitting a keyword and I was collecting words. But because, as I said, like this is something that has been done, people have vastly different processes. Like some people use like big tools, some people just use their intuition. I didn't want them to just have to adhere to what I want, or even if it was better or worse. So what this thing does is that it simply ingests the data that you are putting. So you can upload your own report, your own like Excel sheet, which I'm going to show you, or you can submit your keywords in a comma separated list. The way that it starts is that, and that's what I did for you for the example, because I know that you're big on YouTube and I have watched your channel for a very long time. So I love the stuff that you're doing. So what I did is I went to SEMrush just because it's one of the tools. I went to Keyword Magic Tool and I put, I think, YouTube monetization or YouTube, some keyword, like even YouTube, right? Whatever you wanna put. Obviously, you need, I think this is going to bring like 10 million keywords and we can all cluster 10 million keywords. I can go into the details if you're interested later, but I just want to show you the results and what is the output first and then speak about the technicalities because it can get nerdy pretty quickly. Yeah, you can limit the list a bit. So what I did is I limit the list and I ended up with, what is it, like 20,000? 15? Around 15,000 keywords. I didn't really filter the list. So there's like, I don't know what there is inside here. And I didn't want to know. That was the whole point that, you know, even if there are random things, YouTube one time or this is what, you know, SEMrush brought. And I wanted to see, is there any way I can derive structure and meaning out of this sort of mess that I have here without me going and be like, okay, this goes here, and like based on my intuition.
Yeah.
So I uploaded here. You can select where you got your report from, SEMrush, Keyword Magic Tool, you upload it. You can also customize it. So you can click here and put London or Glasgow. And so what this thing does is that on the back end, I have proxies that are going down to the zip level. So you, if you want to go to Airdrie, yeah, my but yeah, so we will scrape Google for your all of the 15,000 keywords that you provided from this kind of location, or at least the closest proxy that I have to this zip code. And then we will collect the list. There's a lot of data crunching that we can discuss. It's like a multi-dimensional neural network that works to produce the results. And eventually the report is going to look something like this. There are two outputs. The first one is an interactive mind map, which is going to be used later on more because I'm going to also do things like automated content and content plans, the same way as PopSurfer and ClearScope are doing, but from a 360 point of view. I'll describe the structure really quickly. The singles keywords are the keywords that the first neural network that passes the data didn't really think that they can be grouped with other things. So we want to be absolutely sure that the keywords that you're providing are grouped with the most thematically relevant things that we can find. That's why those we like self-programming or learn how to, we couldn't really place them. That's why we call them singles. But as you can see, there's only 540.
Yeah.
Then there is almost 1,200 that are small silos. And what this means is that they just have like low supporting keywords. For example, why YouTube? I mean, there's a lot of junk. Will you be there? Videos. World's best videos. World best videos. World best videos. The best videos in the world. So it just grouped together this. It's interesting, and there is a lot of interesting things that somebody can find from those. But the most opportunities come out from the big silos. And the big silos are silos with multiple dimensions and multiple structures. So as you can see here, how to be successful at YouTube. When you open this, there is other pages. So this signifies a parent category. And underneath, there is all like the sub pages that are still in like very tightly themed, as you see, like how to get famous on YouTube, how to be successful at YouTube, great. But they have different intent. And the reason that they have different intent is because Google is showing the same results for all of those keywords, or at least the same based on what the algorithm found. Yeah. And as I said, I can describe more on how it works later. But as you can see, there is pretty good sort of overlap on the successful stuff here and the greatness or the famousness. Successful and famous are different, have different intent. They all are similar, but they are grouped into different things. And mm-hmm. the beauty here is that I didn't, you know, insert any bias in the system in terms of like, you know, an NLP that compares famous and successful and just say that those things are related. That's why I am grouping them together. I didn't do any of that. All I said is that, you know, Craig brings back your YouTube in the, you know, SERPs, and best black hat YouTube channel brings back also Craig. So mm-hmm. Google understands that Craig Campbell and best black hat, you know, YouTube videos are the same thing, are very related. And that's what this thing does. And the another element of this, which is really good, is that because I submitted keywords that were unrelated or something like that I didn't really clean, we can see that there was one that how to search on YouTube, how to see steps. There was one that I was looking at with what's what I can do. So there's a lot of junk, like what's what I can do. So those things don't really, like, I just put them there to sort of game the system, just see if it will mix them with YouTube stuff or with something else that wasn't supposed to be here. But because Google is so good at understanding the sort of nuances between keywords and variations, they were all grouped together, although they don't do anything with YouTube. And they were grouped apart from, like, the play YouTube video faster, for example, this intent.
Yeah.
Does it make sense, Antonio?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to conclude this, I have another version, which is, I think, more actionable for people. Obviously, in Excel, I cannot share all the dimensions, like, because if you put like 40,000 keywords, you can have like 3-4 levels, which is not something that I control. Like, the algorithms are finally sort of unsupervised. But here I'm outputting 2. So as you can see here, those are the keywords that you provided. This is the page theme, which is pretty much a keyword from all of them that describes it was in the center of the cluster.
Yeah.
The confidence of like how much do we believe that those things are meant to be together? Because sometimes we're not. But it's not that they shouldn't be together. It's just like us as humans, if we looked at manually, we wouldn't find many similarities. That's why I'm putting this sort of metric here, and this is 88%, for example. And here you have the total volume of the page. And hidden, where you have also individual metrics. Oh, how do I ever do this? So individual metrics for its keyword. So if you want to delete this, it will also update the volume and the difficulty. And what this thing tells you is that if you want to target this sort of vertical about subscriptions and YouTube, you can create a page about, you know, channel subscribe. Like, this is about how to subscribe and channel, how to delete the subscription. There's another vertical, how to clear your subscriptions. How to view subscriptions on YouTube, how to view your subscribers and stuff. So like all those things are very related, slightly differently themed, but that's why we're also putting them together. And as you can see here, this is different. This is about creators, Creator Studio, YouTube Studio, YouTube Studio Los Angeles. Also it grouped together the locality because it is related to the creation of the YouTube Studio, but because there's another facet which has to do with local, it grouped it together in a different page.
Now, that makes sense. Actually, I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. I'm not going to say what niche he's in, but it was one of the conversations where he said to me exactly this. He says, I want to go after this keyword, but he says, what would you do in terms of structure? He says, like, how would you cluster this stuff together? Is that part of that section or that section?
Yeah.
And this tool it would have answered this question there and then automatically rather than, you know, us sitting going, well, you know, I think that could, but again, we're guessing, we're not using
exactly
maths or, you know, calculations as such. And I think I would much rather that done the work and done the calculations and build it together than me going, I personally think that it should be there when you could be wildly wrong. So yeah, I think this is, this is good stuff.
And to add to your point, there's another facet in this, is that sometimes you don't know. And it's not like you don't know because you're not smart. It's because, like, for example, I worked with a plastic surgeon when I started this, and I did some sort of, you know, POCs on... happened. I did some POCs on this, and we did an example. Like, he's a plastic surgeon in New York. He has a really big center, like, very famous. And what they wanted to target is people who had gynecomastia, like, so men who had, like, you know, lipodema in their chest. And like, man boobs and gynecomastia are the same thing. So for him, using the word, pardon?
Man boobs, I just love that word.
Yeah. This is my favorite example, because the guy has 20 years of experience in the space. Like, he's an authority. Like, they are like a huge business. And obviously for NDA, I can't really disclose everything, but, you know, like, they thought that, you know, when you're creating an ad on Facebook, for example, because they're big there, they were saying like, gynecomastia surgery, 50% off. People were not converting as much. And when we did the study, we saw that man boobs was appearing only with informational intent, like pics, pictures, photos. When people were talking about gynecomastia surgery or about the transactional intent, they were using different language. For example, male breast surgery, men chest reduction, gynecomastia, liposuction, male breast removal. You didn't see man boobs that much. And when we asked people about this, they were saying that we didn't know that word. Like, when I was looking, I had like a problem. I felt like, you know, not confident. And I was looking, I was trying to understand what I knew man and I knew boobs. And I knew those two words, and I just tried to put them together. And that was the beauty of it. And actually, we created an ad. He was very reluctant to do that. So, but we created an ad about what fix your man boobs or something like that. Kind of like, you know, very slang. It had 165% more conversion rate than the normal ads, because it was attracting like what people were looking for. Like, that's how they were talking. So, and there was no other way for him to know other than just look at the signals that Google is showing you. Because also, like, from the mind map, at least for this version, which is not, but I'm trying to be as transparent as possible. So for every keyword here, when you hover, you can see the first 10 SERPs, and like, you can see the YouTube, like specifically those channels or Hootsuite, they are ranking like another Hootsuite here, Blow Hootsuite, the same thing. So the same kind of results are ranking if you want to do this manually. Obviously, we're analyzing up to 100 SERPs. So it's very difficult and to do this manually. But if you want to do with only the 10, which is a very biased kind of very narrowly minded, you could just start looking at this thing here and this thing here and be like, why were those things grouped together? And you will see that there's a lot of overlap in the results.
Yeah. So just to be clear, though, this works both organic search for Google and everything else and YouTube. This is not just a YouTube tool, right?
Yeah, and I think that was my mistake when I started this, because with my fiance, we came up with the name Keyword Cupid, trying to be, you know, different, or be cheeky, trying to, like, you know, have our minds only in the SEO industry. But this can be used in anything. And the reason it can be used in anything is because it is not necessarily an SEO tool. It's a reverse search engine, I would say, or like reverse knowledge graph. So I have a friend who are developing like a game similar to Family Feud, where you are submitting answers and the most popular answer wins. There's no way to, in a structured way, to analyze all these texts at once, because there's so much variation. But using Google, when you're submitting all these keywords, because Google can attribute and can you know, catch all the misspellings or the different nuances, you can start finding the clusters quite quickly. So it works for anything that you want to, from anything that you need to create meaning from. Like, if you have unsupervised text that your users inputted for YouTube, for Facebook ads. Like, I did one for Trump, which was interesting, because what I did is I went to his Facebook channel and I scraped around 51,000 ads. I created an OCR framework that captured only the part of the image. And just to be clear, nobody searches, do your part to help President Trump win in November, right? Nobody, there's no organic for this.
Yeah.
When I put it in Keyword Cupid, it created clusters that were so tightly themed. And I put also all the ads, because this is apolitical. So I didn't want, this is not, doesn't have to do with politics, but there was so many interesting things. Like, for example, for birthday, he created a cluster that has to do with Melania. Happy birthday to Melania. These are the ads. And then he created the different cluster that has to do with Trump's birthday, like happy birthday, Donald Trump. And you can see here, he put all the ads that have to do with Trump's birthday. And the beauty of it is that there's another ad that says 20% off shop, President Trump's birthday sale. And he put that ad with the birthday, whereas there is another ad that is 25% of the entire store that is a generic kind of discount. And humanly, like a human would understand that this is a generic discount and this is a discount because of the birthday. Nevertheless, yeah. The system understood that the important thing here is the birthday, not the sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting stuff. What I want to ask you about is the kind of geeky stuff behind it. Now, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I understand all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I know that this data has got to pull from somewhere, and you know, it's not Leo's, you know, assumptions that are pulling together here to come up with these clusters of words.
100%.
Where does this data actually come from? So obviously, you're going to get guys saying, right, this tool actually does a good job. It's unique in itself, where it's pulling, you know, cluster topics. It's going to help you build better silo structures. There's so many things that you could do using this data. But where the hell does the data come from? I think that's the last thing. I think the thing that people will say, is it just made up? Is it pulling from guys, or how does it come about?
That's a very valid thing. And also, there is a very big distinguish between what this tool claims to do and what other competition is trying to do. And I just want to just bring all the facts. For example, there's SpiceSerp, which I think is one of the better ones clustering. There is TopVisor, there is SpiceSerp, there is SerpStat that are all trying to do the same. And what they're doing here, because this is not something that I came up with. Like the topical relevancy is something, and the topical clusters based on what Google is showing is something that people have been talking about forever, because it works. Because once you theme a page and you just interlink them with other thematical relevant pages, you're just boosting your topical authority for this. So this is definitely not something that I take credit for. The method that most people are using is that they are looking at, for example, the first, you know, X results, 10 results, and then they're saying, what degree of grouping do you want to use? So let's say that you want to believe that if there are two SERPs out of the 10 or three SERPs out of the 10 that are matching, then I consider this A and B to be related. This has a number of problems. The first one being that who came up with this number? Like, it could be three. If Google gets better, it's one. In some cases, it's like five, because there's not, like in casinos, you can't rely on that. Like, there's so much spam in there. So the fact that there's a match doesn't really mean much. Mm-hmm. So that is the first thing, that there's like there's an arbitrary cutoff here, for example. And then the second one is that if you follow this logic, it makes sense for two keywords. When it comes to three and more, it becomes more convoluted, because let's just say that you have A and B that are related with three SERPs similar. A and C are related with three SERPs similar, but B and C have only one. B and C doesn't mean that they are not related. They are related given A. So there is a probability inside. There is the way that Google works is like with the framework that they're using, there is a posterior probability that given the prior. So the fact that there is an anchor point, it's important, and it's very difficult to capture it with using a heuristic kind of algorithm like this. What Keyword Cupid tries to do is that it doesn't use any of those things. So there is not a good way to describe it, because humans cannot visualize 100 dimensions. That's why I have this example. So this is, for example, if you used only two SERPs and you projected the differences or the distances of like the keywords from their from the SERPs. So what we're doing is that for every keyword, we're constructing a 50 to 100 dimensional tensor. It's all the SERPs that you have. And then what we're doing is that we have two neural networks create a sort of a map, like a sky of those distances. This is for two dimensions, obviously, but if you could visualize 100, you could actually see all of those things. And then there's a second neural network. The first neural network that passes finds out all these clusters, finds out this and this and this. So it tries to see what keywords are grouped together naturally because of the distances that there aren't there. And then there's a second neural network, which is more relaxed. I'm here in my guide, I'm calling them Mr. Picky and Mrs. Chill, where I'm trying to describe the architectures, and I'm actually disclosing also the actual architectures. This is an RNN, and this is a people will take my degree back if they hear that I'm talking about those things like this. But it's not, there's no good way to describe this without actually getting into the math and the backpropagation algorithm. But what the intuition I'm trying to give is that it looks something like this, but in a 100-dimensional space. I'm not inputting any sort of relationships, any sort of you know, meaning or whatever goes together. And what it does is that, all right, it groups together this and this, and then sees that those two things are very closely related comparing to those things. Yeah. And that's how we come up with this structure. Like, yeah, this is this blue, this is this blue, and this whole thing is this thing.
Yeah.
And just to top of that too, that name that I have here, I didn't come up with it because of like the LSI or something from here. This is the centroid of the cluster. So because I wanted to be totally unsupervised, I wanted to be like in 5 years, if Google becomes better, this is going to become better. It doesn't rely on anything that might change, like Vertivec, BERT, Fastex, or whatever. So whatever was the keyword that was in the middle is picked to represent the cluster of the keywords. So it's picked as a name here.
Mm-hmm.
That is pretty much more like people tell me to veer away from the explanations because I tend to go quite technical. I can repeat anything that didn't make sense.
No, it's good for the general public to know roughly how these maths or that data is compiled. And I think, people are aware, they might not understand all of the technology and everything in the same way that you do. But we do know, that people are becoming smarter. They are, they've got their NLP, which can, improve things. And then you've got all of this kind of weird stuff underlying that none of us really understand, that's grouping keywords together or showing relevance or whatever. So it's good to know roughly, that it's based on actual calculations and it's not just a tool that spits out information. And I'm not going to mention any names, but there used to be a tool that I tried several years ago, and I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus because that's not what I'm here to do. But and their unique selling point was local rankings, and I used to put it in, it used to just spit out random stuff like that just wasn't local. And I'm just like, the thought process behind this tool and what it does is really good, but the data is just garbage. Mm-hmm. So it's good to, I think people do ask these things, and obviously it makes sense when you explain it like that, it is real data, it is following a formula, and it's something that we can obviously rely upon in terms of then going out and taking action and setting out your website or your ads or whatever you choose to use this for, whether it's been making a YouTube playlist, for example, or whatever it might be. So I think it's certainly a unique tool. I didn't know that, I've actually heard people talking about keyword clustering and stuff like that. But seeing how you see it visually like this, it makes a lot more sense. So it's certainly a good tool there, I think, for people. And as I said, just having that conversation with that guy yesterday, I could have easily said, you need to go and look at this because that's what that tool does. Because he was looking for my advice to tell him what goes with what. And I'm just guessing, I'm just using the common sense approach, which isn't necessarily wrong. I probably got it right anyway, but people should be following actual data. It's the same way, I look at POP or whatever. No, I want to know what other, if I'm looking for a keyword, for example, I run it through POP as part of the process purely because I want POP to scrape the top 10 search results, tell me what the actual word count I need to try and achieve is, subheadings and all the information, because we want to use technology as part of a process to make sure that we're not just pissing in the wind. And that's essentially what many guys out there who are doing keyword research or content, they're just saying, give me 20 articles at 1,000 words long. Who said it should be 1,000 words long for every single keyword? There cannot be a blanket, amount for every single article that you put out there. So I think digging deeper into all of this stuff is obviously going to give you that competitive advantage.
Yeah. And to your point, actually, I totally agree. And the reason that I'm going into this technical stuff most of the time is not to confuse or, flex by any means. On the contrary, I think I'm hurting myself. But I think in this day and age where there's so much information, so much tools, there's so many tools that are like, malperform more, like you want to pay, like it's really important for people to understand what they're paying for, because this is hard earned money. So I want you to, if you use the tool, so you can understand what it does, what it doesn't, how I can help you more. And to your point, because PAP is a great tool, and like I'm close with the guys, like I talked with Andrew, and like what I'm trying to do next is sort of base my like the mind maps and everything that you saw, do the same thing, but instead of you providing a keyword and it tells you what sort of like statistics you should follow or true densities or anything, I'm doing this for this whole cluster, because a keyword is very narrowly minded. Like the fact that like the variation of keyword might have different results. So the whole way is because Google doesn't know the conversations that we're having. Like we're just trying to sort of reverse engineer. But if you have keywords that are already very tightly themed and you use all of them to create an excerpt or to base your statistics of what is the average content in this niche, what is the average keyword count, or what is the average LS TF-IDF here, then it will give you a good relevancy across all the whole board of the topic. And we are seeing this because I have like a few clients right now that are enterprise clients, and we're going to be publishing some case studies with some sort of insane results. But I want to make sure that before people see this and like we have covered everything, because somebody could say, okay, this was an authority site, like the plastic surgeon or like the lawyer that I had, he saw jumps to overnight because he started creating those articles and interlinking them specifically. Yeah. That's the most important thing, like create the smaller article or like the more niche articles and link them together. So Google, in a sense, can check all the marks of what you're talking about.
So essentially, just to interrupt there,
yeah.
So forget about the keyword research for a second. So you could basically just use this as an internal linking tool.
Yeah.
That would be your internal linking strategy right there done for you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and the next step, like, let me restore my screen. So what I'm working on right now, which I think we are a few years or months, I'm not sure, across from this, away from this, but is it? Sorry, I had like a sort of small, very small, stupid pilot created. I just have to find it. So what I want to be able to do is exploit, because the technology of the language models is advancing. So what I want to do now is that I want you to be able to just select what sort of clusters you want. Let's just say that you want to target this cluster and you don't like this keyword.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is that I'm scraping the content from the first 10 SERPs of each keyword in that cluster. It can be like 100 keywords here or 10 or whatever. And I am constructing a corpus of documents. And I'm using those documents as an entry for GPT-2, which is open, like people can like look at it and train it themselves. But in a sense, this was the model that GPT-3 was trained on. GPT-3 is an API. That was trained with many parameters, but technically you can do the same thing with hyper-relevant kind of documents. And the premise of this is that I don't need to train on the whole news articles of Wikipedia. I want articles about free open source SEO campaign tracing software. Mm-hmm. So I am getting all the documents that are talking about this thing very tightly about this thing, good firms, buffer, free SEO tools, all of those documents in the first two pages are very themed, very well themed around this topic. When I feed them in my language model, I will be able to create a topic that is not about, gynecomastia or rhinoplasty or anything. It will be about open source SEO campaign tracing software.
Yeah.
So that is the first element that I'm working on right now. And the second one is, as you said, with PAP or Surfer or ClearScope, when you're providing a tool and then it tells you what your competitors in the top 10 SERPs are doing, but there's a better way of actually doing this across the globe, because who says that this is the money keyword? might be the best tool for SEO campaign. As you see, they have different sort of SERPs. LSEO is ranking here, doesn't rank here. So we're trying to work on things like that. And there's other cool things. For example, when you click the source SERPs, you can see for each keyword, like you can provide also a website here. And I'm pulling the DR, DR20. And then I can also tell you for that keyword, are there any competitors that are lower DR than yours? Because this might be a difficult keyword, but if there is a a competitor that is lower DR than yours, you could steal this position.
Yeah.
So, and if this cluster also has a lot of those things, like these three here, then this means that you can do this by just creating the topical relevancy, because automatically you'll just hit all the balls and just also get in those positions.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I think, you know, I think your keyword Cupid there.
The name is catching what I know.
Add-ons and add-ons and add-ons to, you know, refine stuff over time. It's mind-blowing because, as I say, everyone's got their own little quirks. They're using a bit of this and a bit of that tool. But if you can, yeah, I think Keyword Cupid's definitely a tool for people to look at. Now, I want to just quickly, while we still have you, I'm going to just share my screen again. So I'm just going to quickly look at the packages you've got and stuff like that. So they obviously vary, $9.99 a month up to $149.99 a month based on, obviously, you know, what you want to do. But there's a couple of questions on here. A lot of it makes sense, you know, credits for keywords and, yeah, and all of that stuff. So that all makes sense. What I want to just clarify is, can you only put five URLs in there in a month, or what does that actually mean?
This is per report. So this was something that I didn't talk about. This is about the on-page kind of stuff that we're doing. Like, so for each keyword that you're providing, we can also scrape the URLs that we are providing and look where it exists. So in a sense, if like we're scraping level on-page elements, and the whole premise is that we want to understand where those keywords exist in your competitor's website. Like, yeah, do they exist in the title? Are they bolded keywords? Do they exist in contextual links or in sidebar links? So you can get an idea of, or like, have they optimized their H2s? Maybe there is an opportunity there too. That feature, I don't think that many people have used it. And that's what I've been saying, that, you know, like, I am more than happy to reposition and pivot as quickly as I can and just, you know, scratch something up and create something else. So I just want to develop things that help people. And yeah, when I have users that are using it, and the main USP of this tool is the clustering. So I started from this. I have obviously a lot of extensions, like, you know, the extension about the optimizer that I told you, the auto-generated text, the competition analysis. But instead of me going and creating a plethora of features without knowing what people want, it's better for you guys to tell me, you know, that's what I do. And I have like a few really cool people that, you know, they are telling me, you know, I want to see the SERPs and I want to see what my competitor comes up so I can create a report or a tool about that. Yeah. So those are like things that are changing. And honestly, I can't even keep up with the changes that I'm making, and I have to go back and change the copy. Like, the success story is also outdated because the report has changed, the mind map has changed. So it's like this sort of chase between, you know, creating new features. And I think it makes more sense to, you know, get a couple of, like more users in, and, you know, based on what you guys want, yeah, I will pivot and develop it.
And finally, you've obviously got Facebook group access on there. Just curious to know what goes on in that Facebook group. Yeah. Is it the Q&A sessions, webinars? What else could, yeah, what other values there?
Yeah, yeah. So like, this is something that we recently started. There are some pretty good names there. And I'm humbled because they're all like really, the good thing with the SEO industry is like, if you are here for years, you eventually know everyone. Like, so it's a very tightly knitted community, and that is the beauty of it. And the danger of it if you don't do things right. But yeah, I'm humble with the people that have joined and like they are a part of the group. So what I want to do there is that I want to release free sort of like hacks. And like, I have like a course that I'm building with IMG right now. And I am discussing a lot of the things of how I do, you know, persona building or market research. I'm using all of things like Snapchat and Facebook and Google Keyword Planner in different ways. I have crawlers that, or I have like an automation of, can I share this? I think I might be able to. Actually, I'll tease you. I'll do this later. But yeah, I have like a lot of, you know, I have a lot of notebooks and like scripts that I have created, and I want to release to the group and to like more of a inner circle kind of community. So, and my hope is that as we go down the line, I want to be able to also not teach, but help people automate a lot of their pipelines, because SEO, it is a very broad spectrum kind of like industry. Like, so you have to have your hands in a lot of places. And when you look at one side, it's actually quite not that daunting. But when you're looking at 100 or 10 or like however many, when my hope is 1 million at some point, to just have 1 million sites, and you need to automate things. And people need to understand how to do those things. And there are ways right now to code without being a super hacker or something. Like this Google Colab that I'm creating those notebooks, and you can just put a Google Sheet there and it will spit out, or I have like a notebook that I'm gonna be releasing, which is how to do SERP pulling. Like you're just providing some seed keywords and it does the scraping of the Google for you. It creates all the variations, it scrapes Google and just gives you the results. Classifies the results based on the intent. So you have already a pre-made thing of like, this is the URLs that are ranking, this is the intent, go and create content like similar to that, and can help your writers too.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Actually, I'm going to tell you a story. I was out in at an SEO conference in Poland a couple of months ago, and there's a very smart guy there. I'm not going to name him because he might not want anyone to know. But he basically said, like, he was watching all the speakers. The guy was a speaker himself. But he basically said, if anyone tells me things to do that I can't automate, I just don't fucking implement.
Yeah, I love this guy.
Implement everything. And this guy, fucking, honestly, the toolkit that that guy's got, he's like you, he's got all these skills. You know, he's a programmer himself, comes from that background. But when he shows you his shit, you're just like, oh my fucking God. Like, for me, this kit that he's got would, it's just insanity, and it's mind-blowing. And obviously, you know, people like you have got little scripts that automate a bit of this and automate a bit of that, and that's mind-blowing in itself. But, you know, really when you get down and dirty, there's some guys doing real crazy, crazy stuff out there, and I love it. I think it's just remarkable that
Whoever you guys are, please reach out.
I can put you in touch offline. The guy's an absolute animal. I'll put you in touch on Facebook. But yeah, I don't want to mention him in case he gets people saying, give me your fucking tools. Because like that was me at the place. I'm like, give me the access to that fucking tool, please. Begging him and everything. I'm like, how much money do you want? He's like, I don't want money. And I'm like, please, man, let me see this shit.
And it is dangerous, to be honest. Like, I had like some friends that we're doing some size with, and they were like, you know what? You're just giving away our secrets right now, because this topical relevancy works. We have seen this work. We have done this in our site. And actually, I'm not, you know, private about this. I developed this for my own. I'm using this in my own affiliate sites. I'm using the auto-generated content. And that's my dream, is to just press a button and have already a pre-made site. So that's what I'm building towards. I just thought that it would make sense to also, and that's what I learned from a lot of people like Steve Toth, James Dooley, all of you, everyone who is so ready to give in this industry. And I feel like that there is, I mean, obviously you're giving away secrets, because secrets that could actually create more competition, and that hurts your pocket. But also there is a flip side in this, is like you're creating relationships and you're all rising together. And like, because as I said, like, you know, life is not just about how much money you make in the end. And I think if anything, my father's loss taught me is that, you know, it's about the people that you have in the way, and like the path that you're going through the way, and like the sort of story that you're building, and the people who you have around when you have success. Because if you make a lot of money and you look around and there's an empty room, I don't know what's the point of it.
Nah, I think it's quite a unique industry, where, you know, you've got your, you know, we've got a lot of mutual friends, and you know, these guys are, you know, they'll bend over backwards to help you for nothing. And you know, certainly people have helped me along the way, and I think, you know, I'll help others go along the way, and people say, oh, Craig's a nice guy, he's very helpful. But you know, I think it just swings and roundabouts. You know, you've got to give to receive. I know these guys by the same token absolutely hate guys who sit in their boxes at home watching videos, hoping that they're going to get all the knowledge laid on their lap, and they deliberately don't, you know, showcase their stuff in public and stuff like that. So you do have to get up off your ass and get out and meet people like we've met in Chiang Mai or, you know, in America or wherever. And I think that's a great thing, you know, when you go out and you just have friends all over the world and you can say, fuck it, we want to go to Greece next year and we want to have an SEO mastermind. And, you know, you're obviously from Greece originally and we've got Elias out there.
Elias, we're coming, baby.
But, yeah, so it's amazing to be able to have money to be able to afford to go and do these things with your friends. And obviously Chiang Mai, you know, is one of my favourite events of the year. Just a great place to be and inspirational and educational at the same time. So, yeah, I think you're spot on with, you know, you have to help out to receive. And as I say, we can all make money as well. There's enough money for us all to be successful. And, yeah, it's a great industry. But on that note, I will wrap up and let you go. But, guys, do check out Keyword Cupid. There will be a link below direct to Keyword Cupid. And obviously, if you want to find Leo, he is on Facebook and you can reach him through. I'm taking it these guys can contact you through Keyword Cupid as well.
Yeah, contact at keywordcupid.com. It's quite easily. I'm on Facebook. Like, I'm pretty active. So whatever you guys have, and as I have said before, because like, you know, I try to decrease my margins as much as I can. There is obviously like, you know, fixed cost because those neural networks are training all the time to become smarter. But if there are people who are starting and they just want some help or anything or just like free licenses and everything, I'm actually pretty open to do whatever that works. As I said, my main thing is to, you know, give back, because I have seen this from people that when you go from the mindset of actually wanting to help, obviously like money is important and I'm not going to omit that, but it comes back in ways. So yeah,
it's been a pleasure, Leo, and thank you very much for coming on and sharing the insights, and obviously another great tool for us all to learn and play with. So I will catch up with you soon. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.